Would you please stand with us as we sing this song in celebration of all that the Lord has done in us and through us?
Come, people of the risen King, who rely to bring him praise. Come, all in tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Struggling in the fight, for his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, Church of Christ, rejoice.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made.
Come, young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come, those with full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that Christ through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice,
annual celebration meeting. We are thrilled to have you here. Throughout this hour, we are going to be going through the annual report and the budget report. So if you did not yet grab one of those, please stand up now, go to one of the tables in the front or the back of the room and help yourself. Make sure everybody has a copy of the annual report and the budget sheet for your reference during this hour together. When I think of the last year of our ministry together here as a church family at Newcastle Bible Church, I can't help but be reminded of the benediction that we've prayed from Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, throughout our entire Matthew series. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And when I think about what God has done in our midst these last 12 months, certainly his righteous acts are being revealed among us. And by his act of grace, we are glorifying his name together. As you can see in the table of contents on page 1 of the annual report, Newcastle Bible Church exists to glorify God by growing deeper and reaching farther. We therefore pursue God's glory through the humble dependence of faith, the doctrinal soundness of truth, the relational wholeness of love, and the missional faithfulness of witness. As we grow together in the head, heart, hands, and home of Christ's likeness, the holiness of God will go public among us, and God's design for His church will be fulfilled. Now, from a high-level perspective, my job today is just to give you kind of a state of the church and just kind of give an overall perspective of our church before other leaders come and highlight other areas of the ministry. But from a high-level perspective, it's been very interesting to observe how the last couple years surrounding the COVID-19 have changed us as a church family. If you turn to page 5 of your report, you'll notice that the average Sunday morning attendance has nearly returned to pre-COVID levels here. And yet that doesn't really tell the whole story. Because in fact, many who used to regularly worship with us 2 years ago are no longer present with us. And many new people have joined our assembly in the last 2 years. So while the total numbers are actually back to almost where they were before COVID, it seems like we do have a significantly new group of people here among us in the room. From a negative perspective, it seems like the last two years has generally weakened our eagerness for hospitality and our eagerness for volunteering. However, on a positive note, many of us are now re-entering the local church with greater understanding of the importance of God's design for in-person gatherings and the physical gathering of the biblical community of the church. And of course, God has done some amazing, amazing work this past year related to loving our community. And Scott and Kyle are going to come in a few minutes to speak more about that. But suffice it to say for now, the overall impact of COVID in the last 2 years has had a net positive impact on our reaching farther ministries for the glory of God. And for that, we say thanks, Lord. Very thankful. Now, if you turn your annual report to pages 18 and 19, I want to take just a few minutes to highlight the current status of our spiritual leadership here at Newcastle Bible Church. Obviously, the strength of a church's ministry lies in its members, not in its leaders. But spiritual leaders do have a God-given responsibility to care for the members, to equip the members, and to influence all of our members for greater faith, truth, love, and witness. So the state of leadership in our church family is very significant for any local church. And I want you to know that for a number of reasons, our current leadership here at Newcastle Bible Church is in a significant season of transition right now. It's not all bad. It's just the normal life cycle of healthy leadership in a local church. There's always going to be some leaders coming and going. So on page 18, you'll notice that within the last year, we hired Pastor Tyson Smith as our new associate pastor of music and worship. Thanks, Lord, for that. And then we transitioned Sean Lewis into marketplace ministry. We're still trying to hire an associate pastor of care and discipleship, and we're trying to hire an outreach director for Goodfield. And both of those positions are very strategic, full-time spiritual leadership positions. And so we would covet your prayers for God's leading and timely provision. On page 19, you'll notice that we've actually hired a total of 19 new staff in the last 12 months. That's all very good and healthy, but that's obviously a lot of transition within ministry leadership in a very short amount of time. We continue to be very intentional and active in our leadership development of pastoral interns and new elders in development and deacons in development. And we're very thankful for our flexible and personalized approach to those training processes. And so just even within the last few weeks, there's been 3 new developments to share with you all for your prayers as updates this morning. First, due to some personal transition with his job and ongoing family needs, Matt Miller has decided to take an indefinite sabbatical from his elder in development training. And so while we're going to miss his joyful ministry alongside our elders for this season of his sabbatical, we fully support Matt in his desire to pursue godly priorities in this very busy season of his life. Second, our elders are unanimous to agree that Chris Mettleman is ready to be publicly ordained as one of our elders. And so we will soon be setting a date for Chris Mettleman's public ordination as one of the new elders. And this is a glorious thing. This is part of the life cycle of leadership in a church where we're recognizing and affirming a new elder whom God has ordained and raised up among us. And for that, we say, thanks, Lord. And third, Denny Schlappe recently informed the elders of his desire to officially retire from eldering, even while he continues to serve in significant ministry here in our church. So Denny has faithfully served in some position of formal spiritual leadership for, I believe, 45 years. So I guess we can't begrudge the fact that he's ready to retire. But I've asked Denny to come and briefly share with us so that we can hear his own heart and get a sense of how to pray for him and Carolyn as they go through this significant transition.
Thanks, Kevin. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Carolyn and I appreciate the church so much, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have been given by the Lord to do ministry in this place over the years. Sorry that Carolyn's not in here with us to be able to share this now. She's down doing part of her ministry in teaching Sunday school. But while we continue, as Kevin said, to serve in various areas, the elder role has provided many special opportunities for us for fellowship and for growth. And in all honesty, we're going to miss the interaction that we've had with the leadership team here at the church. That's been a really good thing for us. I'm encouraged by the fact that that Chris is coming on for as an elder. And I feel safe doing that because Chris is often known for saying I agree with Denny when we're in a meeting. So that's a good thing. But Newcastle is in good hands with leaders, good leaders who love the Lord, are excited about the church. You've all loved us so well. And we just encourage you to do the same with their current leaders and those to come as God continues to grow and work in this church. We love you. Carolyn and I both love you so much.
Let's thank the Lord. Well, I guess it's mutual then, because if you love us, we love you too very, very much. And we're very, very thankful for all the ways that you have served for so many years as a formal pastor and then these last several years as a lay elder. God has used you, brother. And this church is different and better because of all the years of your faithful leadership here. And for that we say, thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Denny's what he said is very true about the leadership team here. Even though we're in this season of significant transition, I would say, I'm so thankful for the health and the unity and the love and the camaraderie of the leadership team that God has given to us in this season. It really is a beautiful thing, and it's something we don't take for granted, and we're very, very thankful for that. So again, we're in this season of significant leadership transition. These are healthy expressions of a leadership life cycle in a local church. There's not, to my knowledge, there's no underlying cause for concern in all of these different transitions. But I will admit that at times, it's an awful lot to keep up with. And so extra prayers for your spiritual leaders and your elders, your deacons, your pastors, your ongoing faithfulness in ministry as members is so extra appreciated right now. And we just appreciate so much the privilege it is to lead you and to equip you and to see God's Spirit continue His ministry through you in this season. So now I'm going to turn it over to Scott and Kyle as they come and review some of what God has done in the past 12 months of our ministry together. Go team.
Did through Newcastle this last year. If you remember, our ministry focus was loving our community, and where each elder team perfectly considered a few ways to love our community, and that looked differently for like the stewardship team or the adult discipleship team. But I'm really thankful that when a lot of churches and organizations were fearful of COVID and the pandemic, by God's grace, we really stepped into loving our community well, and that's just another testament to God's goodness. So if you remember, we all started off by praying 9 weeks during the worship service for one person that we know who was unsaved. So we have to think all the way back a year ago. But that was a great time of being humbly dependent on God to change one person whom we know and love, to change that person's heart. So we prayed for 3 weeks to change that person's heart and prayed for 3 weeks that we'll have opportunities for spiritual conversations. And then we prayed for boldness in those gospel opportunities and conversations that we could have, which was a sweet time where we can all just be of one mind and call out to God for those whom we loved. We also, a few of us attended some of the Mackinac Village board meetings, as well as the DMAC school board meetings. Listening well to the needs of the community is so important, as well as developing the relationships with the leaders in order to work well together. And out of that, we've already borne some fruit with working during the MACAFest with the food tent, as also possibly having, we're working on having a Sunday morning worship service, like a community service, which will be really fun and a good time to interact with the community. There's also a possibility of having an interaction with the community center. We're still prayerfully considering what that would look like, but continue to pray how we can love Mackinac and the DMAC school area better. Also, you guys know we were quite involved in the Goodfield community. We're thankful for Seth Swarsendruber and Jamar Williams, our interns. They worked so faithfully in that community and just helping equip us there. We did quite a bit of door-to-door evangelism, so lots of opportunities for spiritual conversations and gospel conversations. We had cookouts and as well as a well-attended Bible study. I think Scott Cruzy did quite a bit of that, and that's been sweet to have those relationships develop there. We're also excited about a VBS out in Goodfield this summer. So continue to pray for that, as well as what Pastor Kevin mentioned, is to pray for that Goodfield outreach director. So that's a significant ministry and very valuable. So really seek God's guidance in that. But I'm also thankful for how our church not only loves our community, but loves other countries and other people that are coming to this community. And I'm thankful for the Afghan Resettlement Program. And that's an exciting program that we partnered with Samaritan's Purse to encourage us to love as God loved us. So as we're strangers and sojourners in this world, so we should love the stranger and sojourner and immigrant that comes to our country. So by way of update with the Afghanistan Resettlement Program, Samaritan's Purse asked us if we were interested in being flexible and not only staying in the Afghan resettlement program, but also would you be interested in resettling Ukrainian refugees? As you know, the war that's going on is continuing, and it's, you know, as war is, it's terrible, and the destruction that's happening over there. So there's been millions of Ukrainians that are fleeing their country and leaving everything. So we were definitely open to that, whether it's in Ukraine or Afghan, people are definitely in need and are seeking help. So just Friday, we were paired with a Ukrainian family of four, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to pronounce the name. So there's like backwards letters and upside down. So, but it's very humbling that God would choose us to help and love this family well, and to take care of them, somebody that's lost everything. So be in prayer for that as well. So we'll more to come with details in that, because that's just new. So.
Well, as Kyle mentioned, there's been so much that's been happening in our church family over the last year as it relates to just being able to reach farther and especially reach better into our communities. And so there's so much that could be said. My desire now is just to focus on one of those particular ministries, which was the after-school program. So if you want to open up to pages 26 to 28 of your annual report, and if you want a quick way of doing that, just hold your book open like this and just go boom. Because it's the exact middle one where the staples lie, so it'll open right to there for you. But as you know, last year was our listening campaign with the communities, where we received feedback from the community surveys and listening to the needs presented, like Kyle said, at the community village meetings and the board meetings for the school. And it became apparent that there was an immediate need for an after-school program for children in our community. It was a golden opportunity for a church like ours. When you think about the facilities that God has blessed us with, the opportunity right here between the two schools in Mackinac and Deer Creek. And so early in 2021, the elders agreed to proceed with the development of a specialized program that would offer not just childcare, but even biblical instruction to families in the Mackinac School District. Now, a big piece of that puzzle was finding the right person to both launch and run, direct the program, which was really a big responsibility for any person in our church to take on. But it did lead us to Melanie Burge, who in her 1 year leading this program has already created a strong foundation for a program that is set up for many years of faithful and fruitful ministry to our community. Now, we've mentioned this in recent weeks, but due to her family's upcoming move and transition to Mississippi at the start of next month, this will actually be her official last week in the role. And as you can imagine, she will be extremely missed for the work that she has done in leading that program. I see her sitting right here. And so if you guys would, just would you get take a moment to just thank Melanie for the work that she's done with that? It has been such a joy to work with Melanie so closely this last year. Please make sure on the way out today, just encourage her and thank her for her work there. But we've just seen throughout the development of this program, just God's hand of faithfulness and his favor upon us. And he showed that again to us this past month when he raised up one of our existing program staff members, Josie Selman. Josie, raise your hand right over there. Josie to take Melanie's place, which will take place effective here on June the 6th. So as you have time today as well, make sure you make your way over to Josie and just thank her for taking on that responsibility and encourage her as she heads into this next year. And feel free to pass along your phone number and email for, you know, ways that you can serve in the ministry as well. Now, as we think about the program this past year, we just say thanks, Lord. We're going to say that a lot here this morning, but we were blessed to have 38 children from 26 different families take part in this program. Nearly all church. This is the praise God moment here. Nearly every single one of those families and kids who were in the program were non-Newcastle families, which shows that this program is serving its intended audience. There were ways for us to share the message of Christ and show the love of Christ to these families. It gives us an opportunity for spiritual conversations on a daily basis with children who maybe come from unchurched families. And it provides an open door for introducing our non-church families to the ministries that are available here at Newcastle Bible Church. And we're starting to see some of the fruitfulness of that right now. And we see that's it's a long game. It's a long play. And so we are just thankful that we get to be a part of it. Now, as the program transitions from its first year into its second year, it draws to a close here this week, but please keep in mind there are ongoing ways that you can continue to partner with us for this program, the first of which is definitely through prayer. You have been a praying church this last year, but continue to pray for Josie as she assumes this role here in a few weeks. Pray for God to raise up more members from our church who can serve our community through being regular staff members a couple days a week or being regular tutors in the program. Pray for God's work in the hearts of the children and the parents that we have an opportunity to minister to. And continue to pray for God's favor on our transportation logistics, which is a big part of this program that we're dependent on with the school district, depending on their bus routes, depending on the availability of bus drivers. If anybody wants to be a bus driver in here, please come talk to me, because seriously, that is a huge need in the district right now. And so just pray for God's favor as we kind of continue to work out those logistics. But there are, again, continued ways for you to partner with us. We'd love to get more members in our church involved in the program. Anything from a few days a week to just being a regular sub or a tutor in the program, we'd love to talk to you about what that looks like. And then, of course, financially. Obviously, your funds, the general fund, work towards this, but this is a designated fund in our church that if you want to give towards, we'd love to just see the Lord do amazing things through the financial gifts of this church family. So thank you, church, for loving the Mackinac community so well. It's been a joy to celebrate what God has done at Newcastle over this past year, and now it's my joy to turn it over to Scott Cruzy, who's going to share about what we're hoping God will do through Newcastle in the year to come.
Morning, Newcastle, and hope you're excited about growing deeper and reaching further in 22-23. As you've heard the last couple Sundays, our theme and emphasis this year is building up the body, and it really goes hand in hand with one of our core values, sharing life together, relational wholeness. And if you look at our website, underneath that core value, you're going to see a couple of bullet points. One talks about diversity, and under that, it has a scripture which talks about Romans 15:1-7, where part of that says to live in such harmony with one another. To live in such harmony with one another. And you can see the rest of the verses on the screen. And then it talks about unity under that. And there in the middle of the Ephesians 4:1-6, it speaks to eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And I got to tell you, a couple years ago, I thought I was doing pretty well with this unity and diversity thing. And then God said, try on a pandemic and see how that works for you, Scott. And I don't know about you, but you may not have seen it directly from me, but I struggled with unity and diversity. I all of a sudden, people weren't thinking the same way I was, and maybe you found that too. And it exposed my sin and exposed our need, I think. Maybe you had some of that our need to really go to work here this year and growing in the unity of diversity. And I think for a couple major reasons, but probably the big one, if we look at Ephesians 4, and we're going to be looking at a lot of Ephesians, aren't we, Kevin? And but Ephesians 4 speaks to a lot of that. In verse 13, it talks about unity and mature manhood, and it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who's head, into Christ. Newcastle, we live in a very confusing world. A very confusing world that has every wind of doctrine out there. You guys and the gals, we know it. We know it. And we can be tossed to and fro. And we need truth. We need truth of God's word, and we need to speak that truth in love. We need really to build up the body, and we need to do it together. I think a second reason, maybe not quite as apparent as in Ephesians 3:10, it says, so that through the church, the Ephesian Church, Newcastle Church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, probably referring to angels there. I got to tell you, Newcastle, if the rulers and authorities are seeing what's going on in this church, these communities and folks around us are going to take notice too. There's something different here. And it's a group of believers building up the body under the umbrella of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And they're going to take notice. And but anyway, do we have some diversity in here or what? I mean, take a look around. Who you're sitting beside, who's behind you, in front of me. Take a look around. We got some Cardinal fans in here. We got some Cub fans. We've got some old. We've got some young. We've got some Deer Creekians, some Mackinites. We got some Gentiles from Eureka. We got some Samaritans from Tremont. And we've got folks from all over the place, 14 or 15, probably more communities than that. We've got some that are Republicans, some that are Democrats, some that are vaxxed, some that are not vaxxed. We got some that have been walking with Christ for so long. We've got some that are new to the faith. We've got some great diversity. And it's not by accident that we've been put together here by our great Lord to grow deeper together. I don't think that's an accident. Then it's a supernatural deal. And that's probably why Jesus prayed for us, John 17, that we would be one. He knew we needed prayer. And it's because of the gospel. As Ephesians, again, we'll get in Ephesians, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of any hostility. And it's for his glory, as we just finished up here last service, to him be glory in the church. To him be glory in the church. So, I've got a couple pictures here. Maybe we can bring them up. One is on page 44 that I absolutely love. And take a look at this, if you would, as we go forward. That is John Camiola, the son of a mobster. His wife, two to his right, Missy, who works in Nigeria from Central Illinois. And she is rescuing young ladies out of sexual slavery in Nigeria. In between them is our own Kay Timms. I don't know if Kay's here or not. Kay spent time in Russia. And then we have Alan Garrison, who spent a lot of time in short-term missions in South Africa. And then we've got Jesse Cyphers, who's now spending some time over here, but is raised in this church. And is now a missionary in Turkey. And this is a couple of months ago. They're interlocking arms, praying, really signifying interlocking hearts, all in a classroom that's led by some dentist from Metamora. That's wild. That's wild. But this is what we're talking about, building up the body. And so if you open up your, and you maybe you already have it, turn to that page or to the, go a couple pages over, just highlight, because of all of our teams are focusing on building up the body. Let me just point out a couple. On page 49, you're going to see some talk about hospitality. And I want you to read all through that if you haven't already. But we need to grow deeper in how we welcome folks, particularly new folks, to our bodybuilding church. And we've been doing some of that, but we need to do a better job. We need to continue to grow in that. And look at those other initiatives as well. And then if you go over to a couple pages, you see some praying initiatives. We'll be praying here in a few minutes. That fourth one talks about church membership. And we want to do some focusing on church membership. It says give us a right understanding of church membership and its importance. Man, we welcomed in 25 new members. I don't know if we've ever done that. Chad was getting dry mouth up here just introducing folks. It was awesome. It was awesome. First service. So awesome. 25 new members. I like what one theologian said. Church membership isn't about rights and privileges as much as it's about loyalty and partnership. So membership moves from a mindset from consumer orientation to partnership orientation. If some of those new members are probably here, I am looking forward to partnering with you. I need you. We need you to help us build up the body. If you go over to the next page, really the last page, just some initiatives there. It says, one of those says, let us rediscover the importance of church body life. And I just got to say, if you're not committed, recommit or commit more to the life groups, adult discipleships, women's Bible studies, men's D groups, shape classes, Sunday school classes for the youth. It's really where the workouts take place. And we've got to work out if we're going to build up a body. And we got to, it's where you and I grow. And it's where we help others grow as we speak truth in love. You'll see another one there. It talks about raise up more disciple makers who love children, teens, and those with special needs. We need disciples who make more disciples. As my brother Matt Miller would say, can you be a disciple if you're not also a disciple maker? That's what Jesus did. And if we're going to conform to his image, that's one vital way. And maybe you're the person that needs to get involved with building up the body of our young people. And in a fairly new joy club of those with special needs, maybe that's something that you need to look at. Another place that talks about steer our hearts for evangelism and outreach, that's been the focus and theme the last couple of years. But quite frankly, as we grow deeper as a body, we're going to grow in love and honor Jesus Christ even more. And that's just going to overflow. Should be just a natural overflow. It was for Peter and Paul in Acts. They talk about we just couldn't help it. Do what you have to do to us. We couldn't help but speak about Jesus. And they did. And they did. And one of the results is we're here. We're here. There's an area there about transform and steer the hearts of our students headed to San Francisco. Some of you know we've got some students in the team headed to San Francisco, and as excited as I am for Gabby and Mateo out there, and the folks of San Francisco, what's that going to do to building up the body of our folks that are headed that way? You've served on teams around here, some of you, and you know when you serve together, you grow together. And we got to continue to serve in such ways. That group is going to come back forever linked in what they're going to do in San Francisco. You've got an area there, finally, it talks about strength relationship with our GO partners, and whether they're sent or supported partners, they are part of the body that's building up, and we want to build them up, and we want them to build us up. We know Dustin and Becca King are going to be here this year. Kay and H are going to be here. It's going to be some iron sharpening iron time. It's going to be very, very special. We'd also like to add at least another GO partner. We'll see how that goes, but we'd love to do that. So anyway, just look at those initiatives. I'm excited for them, and I'm excited to get to know you more, to grow more with you, and I think all of our elders are. Hope you are as well. Let me just finish by saying this. I call it the geometry prayer in Ephesians 3, and it says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Let's bring Michael up here.
Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. It's really exciting. Just to look at this book and think about what God has done here. In the time we had this morning, we weren't able to touch on even half of it. So I would encourage you, when you have a chance, to really read through here, and bask a little bit just in the sense of what God has done. He's been so, so good to us, and this is a real celebration of it. So now it's my turn to give you the boring stuff. So it's a cross that I carry. It's the way it is. So my first slide here, I know that it's just not a budget meeting without a boring slide with lots of really small numbers that you can't read. You all ask that. You ask me for that every year, and so I'm here to provide that for you, your annual exposure to that. So this is, I'm going to tell just a little story here before we get to the budget. Hopefully you all had a chance to pick one up. I'm not going to go through the detail of that. That should have come to you a week or 2 weeks ago, so you've had a chance to look through it. I'm not aware of any questions that came from it. Doesn't mean your time's over. If something comes up, please talk to us about it. But so here in this chart, our budget for the year, this is just 50 weeks out of 52, which is why it doesn't exactly match last year's numbers, for those of you that remember last year's numbers, was in the neighborhood of $1.2 million. And so when you look at that, that's that red dotted line, which I think you can see from where you're at. So that would have been our target for the year. And as you can see, you guys are so amazing. This is terrific. The green line is the giving here. So week by week by week. It's a little hard to see there in the beginning because it's pretty close. Came down a little bit in some of those late summer months. And then December happened. And December's a terrific month for lots of ministries, and we're no different. And you guys were amazing in December. And that thing jumped way up. And then we've basically followed the trend since then. And so a lot of times, ministries, churches, you need December to catch up for the year. An amazing thing here is we didn't actually need it. We got it anyway. And it has us finishing the year $100,000+ over what our budget was. That's an amazing thing. I mean, in this country right now, it's been a wild couple of years. We're still kind of coming back from COVID. And so for that to happen here, I'm just so grateful. God has been very, very good to us. We know that you guys give, God provides the funding for us, but it comes through you. It's the only way that we get it. He's chosen to provide it through you. So that's the first setup here. We're coming in probably about 10% over what our budget was for the year. So our budget process, we have the teams. You know, we talk a lot about our teams. And so we tell them every year, right, that we show them here's what your budget was last year and say, what do you need? What do you need for your ministry next year? And we trust each of those teams. They're led by careful leaders who think carefully about how to steward the funds that they've been given. And so this year, when we sent that request out, here's what your budget was last year. What do you need to do the ministry? All of which is, you know, what's reflected in here and what we're looking forward to in the next year. And that number came back at exactly what is on your paper. So our budget for next year that we're proposing is $1.4 million, $1,414,000, which is a really significant number. It's a staggering number to me, to be honest. Significantly higher than we were last year. But as we look at your faithfulness in giving, has really put us in a place where we feel like that 1.4 is where God wants us to be. It's a lot higher than last year's budget, but it's not a lot higher than what our giving is going to be this year. So we felt it was appropriate to move up. This is, again, we trust our teams to know what they need. And this is the dollars that they've asked for sure. If you have any questions about this, again, we put this out 2 weeks ago. I didn't hear of any, but we want to be really transparent about it. So if you have questions about how we spend this, as an aside, my dad always likes to say that we don't choose our ways to be humbled. And I am responsible for this chart that has a math error in it. So Yes, it's in there, if there's any of you that found it. Yes, it is my responsibility. I'm sorry. It doesn't change any of the, it's actually in the actual column, so our actual expenditures, something that I missed, so I do apologize for that. The budget column is good, so it does add up to that. $1.4 million, where we're at. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I hope that it gives you some sense of, as those dollars have come in, those giving dollars have come in well over budget, they have given us the kind of buffer that allows us, I think, to move forward with this 1.4 with a pretty sizable budget, because we have, again, we have some flexibility because of those extra dollars. One other thing we're going to do is we've moved some of this surplus giving into something we called special projects, and asked our teams if there's things that they wouldn't put in an ordinary budget, but they think would be good for ministry around here. And so a couple of those that we're going to move forward this year, we're going to put a playground set up over behind the intersection. I don't know the exact place for it yet, but we're going to move forward. It's something that will help the after-school program and something that we could use as a church. Also hoping to move forward, Scott talked about transportation for the after-school program, and we're at a point where we probably have to think about having some transportation as a church, whether it's vans or buses. Some of those details we don't know, but your giving over our budget has put us in a place where we can start to spend some money on some of these special ministry projects, which is really, really exciting. So a couple of high-level thoughts just about the budget. I realize it's a lot of numbers. Again, if you have any questions about this after you have a chance to soak on it, please let us answer them. You know, catch up with somebody so we can answer it. As leadership, it's our job to discern the areas where we send this money. It's God's job through giving, through you, to provide the funds for that. And so we're going to trust him for a budget that's over $1.4 million. And I think I said this last year, I'm going to say it again. This budget is a plan. It's not a debt. This isn't, if at some point something happens and God doesn't provide the funds for $1.4 million worth of ministry in a year, then we'll adjust. We'll do something different. We, as leadership, we stand here really, and I can say this for the stewardship team, trembling a little bit before you. This money is we've been given it. It's our responsibility to steward it well, and that's what we're trying to do, to make decisions wisely, to spend it in a way that brings God glory. And so I'm thankful for your trust in us to do that. Pray that it continue to pray for us. It is, I think there's some inflation coming. Some has already happened, and so we're going to try and make our way through that the best that we know how. And we just appreciate your trust in us to do that. So at this point, I'm going to actually ask for, so we're submitting to you this budget as a congregation, to the members here. I'm just going to ask for a verbal vote to approve it. So this is, if you're a member, you know who you are. If you're not one, you know who you are. I can't hear that when you say it, so we'll have to do this on the honor system a little bit. So we're going to present this budget to you, to the members of Newcastle for this coming fiscal year ending in May of 23, $1.4 million. So if you are a member and that is something that you can support, would you signify by saying aye? And if it's not, I realize you might feel kind of lonely, but if it's not, if there's a nay out there, we want to hear it. So if there's anyone who could not support moving forward with this, please signify with a nay. I know that's really hard. So please, if there's somebody that's really troubled about this and you just didn't want to say no because somebody'd give you the elbow. Please talk to us. I mean, we want to be totally open about what this is. This is not a business. This is not, we're trying to pile up a bunch of money so that we can keep it. I mean, we do have some considerable balances there, but most of them have a direction. They have a place that we're going to go, that we plan to go with them. So I'm going to consider this passed. I want to thank you again for your giving, encourage you to continue. I've seen and heard lots of numbers and bits and pieces. Please, please, please ask us if you have questions. And I'm going to turn this over now to Brent. We're going to pray that God would bless this, because we know he does provide funds, but we know that's not what makes, it's not what changes hearts. God changes the hearts of people, and none of our plans would come to anything without his blessing.
Thanks. Excuse me. Thanks, Mike. If you would, please, what we'd like to do is pray together for four specific things. So if you could get together in groups around there of maybe 4 to 6 people, and the first thing we want to pray for is a greater faith of humble dependence. There is a prayer starter on the screen. And so let's just take just a couple of minutes, and I'll close this out, and we'll move on to the next item. Father, we just want to ask you to help us to continue to depend on you, to trust you. We pray for our leaders here at Newcastle that you would help us to continually depend on you. We want to trust you and live for you. And we just thank you for how you have blessed us. It's in your name. Okay, if we can move on to the next one. Let's pray together for greater truth in doctrinal soundness. And again, there's a prayer starter there for you on the screen. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would lead us to the truth of your word. We pray that you would help us to understand your word. Help us to teach your word, nothing more and nothing less. We just appreciate so much having the scriptures in our hands today, and just ask that you would help us to discern truth from error. Help us not to make the Bible believe what we want it to be, but help us to believe the Bible for how you want it to be. Just thank you, Lord. We praise you. And now, if you would please turn to the screen again and pray for a greater love in relational wholeness. Father, we do thank you for the relationships that we have around us, the people we come in contact with day to day, and those that we don't see so often. And just ask that you would give us the blessing of loving each other the way you love us. Help us to be humble in our relationships. Help us to be forgiving, and help us to be free from being offensive. We just love you, Lord, and thank you. And finally, for our last prayer time, let's pray together for greater witness in missional faithfulness. And again, there's a prayer starter there for you. Thank you. every day, who we come in contact with that need to know you. And it's our prayer that we could not only live for you and be a living example of you, but that we would be able to speak freely of who you are and of the hope that we have for life eternal with you, for the forgiveness of the debt that we have made. And we just praise you, Lord, and thank you for this time today, this time of celebration. And just ask you to continue to bless us and help us to continue to serve you. And we praise you. It's in your name. Amen. Thank you. You can be dismissed.